got to make sure that we know where we stand so that we're able to do the fighting. Now, this is important this morning. I want everybody to be wide awake. I want them to be looking at what we've got here as a screen. I hope you don't mind, but we didn't have the opportunity of drying and airing this sheet whilst we were at home, so we just hung it there. Okay? It would be really helpful if some of the younger children could come out the front behind this screen. I will say that if you need the toilet, you can still come to the toilet, okay? There is access here. But will the younger children come to me, please? Mandy, just so that if they feel more comfortable, perhaps you could come out with them. And just take them around there. That would be really good. That's it? Yeah, come on, boys. That would be good if you had a couple of boys as well. Excellent. Wonderful. Joyce, that's lovely. Okay, some of the older ones can stay there because there's something to do in a minute as well. Okay, great. Out there.
Behind the sheet.
Out the back. Well done, Joyce. Got to go the wrong way. Go on. You go that way. Go on. There we are. No, Joyce. Joyce, go out that way, darling. That would be really good. With Mandy out there. Thank you. Excellent. Never work with children or animals. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is this. You are listening, aren't you? All right. We're going to ask each of the children to come out, and all we want you to do is recognize them and shout out their name. No, their parents or guardians will know their names. Is that okay? And it doesn't matter then. Don't feel embarrassed if you're the only voice shouting out, okay? All right? But if a couple of you recognize who it is, that would be really good. Now let me see if I can get the first one ready to come out. Okay, who's going to stand up there first? Will you want to stand up on there, darling, by there? Okay, you've got to listen to me, so I might have to shout. So just stand up by there, darling. There we are. Now, it's more difficult for you to actually identify this child at the moment. But now, who do we say this is? Happiness? Are we right? Is it happiness? Yes? Wonderful. You can come and have a sweet. Come on, and come down here, darling. Wonderful. There we go. You can have one of those, okay? And you can take another one for someone who said, yes, it's happiness. Now, the next one. Next one up there. Now, who is this? Sorry? There we are. Wonderful. There we are. You can have two of these as well because they were right. They said it was you. Okay? Wonderful. You go out there. Now, is anybody else going to stand up on there now? Oh, hang on. We already have a volunteer. Wonderful. There we go. Now, who is this? Corey, there you are. Well done. There's two sweets for Corey. All right. Good, good, good. No. Right. Okay. Next one. Godwin. Let me have a look. Did Godwin? Yes. There you are. Wonderful. All right. Next one. Let's see if you, is this one more easily. Who's this? Aaliyah. Aaliyah, is that the name? Okay, there we are. Jolly good, darling. Okay. Right, come on. Now, who's this? That's Aaliyah. It's who? Well done, Mandy. Well done, Mandy. Now, that's for you.
Thank
right?
you.
And this is for your mother. Because she recognised you straight off after... That you can have for your 70th birthday. That is wonderful. You can have no, not all the mothers are getting those. Okay, right, okay. That's it. Right. And you get up there now, my sunshine. Wonderful. And who is this?
Grady.
Grady? Is that right? Okay. You can have those as well. Thank you very much. One final one. Who is it? Victoria. Oh, all right. There you are. Wonderful. Okay, that was pretty good. Now, let me tell you that was pretty good. I wouldn't have been able to recognize those children, but I would have recognized them as children. Okay? You're actually eating that, Mandy? Yeah. Oh, dear me. I thought you would have been so generous to give it to someone else. But you know, the important thing is, we as parents would certainly recognize our own children, wouldn't we? Is there any doubt about that? I don't think so. Even in those difficult circumstances, yes, we would recognize our children. But you know, God sees each one of us, and he knows us intimately. He knows all about us. Okay, so it says this, in the Bible, in Psalm 139, it says this: "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb before I was born." Now, where's Joe and Meg? Oh, have they gone? Oh, I see. Oh, there's a shame. Because what I wanted to point out was there was a little baby that is only 7 days old. I'm guessing there was 9 months before that. God knew that little baby right from the very beginning. Okay? And could see the way in which that little baby was going to be formed. It says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made," says the Bible. "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Now, I would ask you, do you know that? Okay, do you know that God formed you? You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and your soul knows that. That's important. "My frame," it says in the Bible, "was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully made in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." So when people say the first little inkling of a new life is not a great consequence, is not important, the Bible says it is. Because you, each one of you, has been fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? Wonderful. And even though there are some parts of us that need to be replaced from time to time, we know that it's good. God is good. Now, I want to ask you something about me. Okay? Now, as I stand here, can you really tell whether I'm black or white? Can you tell whether I'm rich or poor? Can you tell me whether the hand that I raise is my right hand or my left hand? Which is it? You don't know me very well. Can you really tell by looking at me whether I am employed or unemployed? No. Well, you know, that really goes to show that just by looking at my shadow, you don't know a lot about me. And very often we make judgments on people as we see them. We say, you know, there's something about that character that I don't like. But you know, really, we should be concentrating on those bits that we can see that we have in common. You could see that I was a man. Oi, hang on a second. Are there any doubts about that? So, you could... Hang on, you laughed as well then. Now, the important thing is, we've got an awful lot in common, and that's what we should concentrate on. Not the bits that make us different. Because the Bible has said, in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Lord said to Samuel, as he was trying to find a king for Israel, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." And it's what's deep inside of us. Those are the things that are important to God. Okay, not this suited and booted guy, but what's in my heart. And it's the same with each of you too. You may come in your Sunday best. You may look as though you are doing all the right things. But what God is saying is, it's what's in your heart that is important. Okay? Now, I need some older ones. Can you boys come out and help me? And can you come out and help me as well? I think I need four. Okay, if you come out here. Oh, come out front. And come round here. Here we go. I want you to tell me now what these children are doing. What's happening? Having a drink? Very, very good. What was he drinking though? You don't know, do you? No. That's right. You're guessing water. Very good guess, Maria. Completely wrong, but a very good guess. Okay, thank you very much for your help. That's really good. I need to go up and help you to move this. Okay. What's happening here?
Reading.
Yes. Reading. What? A paper? Which one? You don't know. Well done. It's a newspaper. You're absolutely correct. Thank you so much for that. That's really good. That's wonderful. You may go down. I'll give you some sweets in a moment. Now, I'd like you to go and stand up there, my dear. Okay? Okay, turn around this way. That'll be really good. Now, what am I doing? Yes? Ah, good question. Thank you. So, what was I doing? I was feeding someone, wasn't I? That's absolutely right. There was nothing in there, Joyce. You missed out on nothing at all. Thank you so much, my dear. And finally, this is one. Go and stand up on there. Who else was it? Oh, no, it's this young lady, isn't it? Just stand up on there a minute, darling. There we go. And now I want you to tell me what I'm doing now. Oh, hang on, Joyce. It's going to be this young lady. Okay?
What's all right? Wrong with her?
Well, exactly. Now, what do you think I'm doing now? Okay? Well, yes, Joyce, that's very helpful, but actually you were behind here. So there we are. What am I doing? Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, my dear. That's all I wanted you to do. So if you go down. Now, you come back out here, Joyce. Out there. That's it. Great. Thank you very much. Now, what my helper's doing there. There we are. Now, look, what that was really trying to say. There we are, my dear. And there we are. Sunshine, thank you. And there you are. And you've already got two, haven't you? Pardon? Oh, right. Well, okay. Well, we've got to do something there. Is it easy to work out who this is? Okay. Right. It was Joyce. Well done, Joyce. They knew it was you. Yeah. Okay. There you are, Joyce. Thank you very much. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, is there a problem? You'd like that as well. Come on then. There we are. Now go and sit down. Good. Right. Now, what that was supposed to tell us is you can learn something about people in what they're doing. Okay? We saw someone was drinking from a cup. We saw someone reading a newspaper. We saw someone who was having their head bandaged. Someone's caring, and we saw someone else who was actually being fed something. Okay? So there were things that we were doing then, and it was obvious what we were doing. Some of those things were for themselves. The drinking the cup was just for themselves. The reading the newspaper was just for themselves. But the feeding, that was really helping someone else, wasn't it? And then there was the bandaging of the head. That was helping someone else. So you see, whilst there is very little that we are able to recognize of an individual character from the shadow itself, we can learn something from what we see the people doing. Because this is what the Bible tells us. It says, therefore, in Matthew chapter 7, therefore, by their fruits, that's the things that they're doing, you will know them. So we should be looking out, really, to see the good things that are coming out of people. Later on, Jesus says this, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come and you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And the disciples were saying, well, when did we do any of those things? And Jesus said, when you have done any of those good things for people, it's as though you're doing them for me. And that's a real challenge for us, that we should be thinking of ways in which we're able to help people. Now, as you younger ones, I nearly said children, but you're hardly children. But you younger ones, as you grow up, what should be in your heart is a love for family and for one another and for the world at large. And we should be really trying to bless each and every person we come into contact with. That's very hard to do. But it's something that God would like to see in each one of us. Now, Here's another one. Now, I want you to look at this now from God's perspective. Now, just pretend for a moment that you are God. Okay? All right? And you're looking at me here. Can God see whether I'm black or white? Can God see whether I'm rich or poor? Can God see whether I'm in a job or not? And can God see what is the condition of my heart? Yeah. So God can see far more than you can see about me, and far more about anybody else than you can see as well. And that is so important. We've got to step back sometimes, and instead of making a mistake of saying, of criticizing someone, we should be there and actually saying, hang on, what is this person like in from God's perspective? You see, it says here in Psalm 69, verse 5, it says this, "Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you." It says in Psalm 139, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts." You see, this, no one can ever imagine that they are like God. Okay? God is God, and there's just the one. And God is infinitely almighty. He knows everything about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Okay? He knows your yesterday. What's more important is he knows your tomorrow. And this is God. He knows it all. And we might make a guess at what people are going to be like. I mean, let's just for imagine try to say, what will that new baby of Joe and Megan's do when the baby leaves university? Oh, that's a guess. But God knows. And you and I need to live in that experience. God knows my circumstances. He knows who I am. I can't hide it from him. No matter how poshly I dress, it doesn't make any difference to him. When Peter, I think the gentleman, was it Johnny last week, said that Jesus was challenging Peter after Peter had denied Jesus three times, Peter had to end up by saying, "You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Right, go and look after my sheep." Because that's it. God knows everything about us. He knows us inside out. And that is wonderful to know. Wonderful to know. But how do I know this? You know, when we think of God, we see an awful lot of pictures of God in the Old Testament of the Bible. We see all of God's wonderful characteristics in the Old Testament of the Bible. We can see there how God loved his people so much that he looked after them every step of their 40-year journey in the wilderness. He gave them a king. He helped the king, David in particular, to defeat all of the enemies. And so what we've got is we've got a God whose characteristics are shown us so clearly in the Old Testament. But how could we come close to that God? You see, what a lot of people say that in the Old Testament, there are shadows of what God was like, because what you're seeing are God's characteristics. And then Jesus came. He came that first Christmas. And he came because he wanted to show you in physical form what God was like, because Jesus was God, is God. So he was able to show real loving compassion on people. He was able to show the authority of God over sin and over poor health. Jesus was able to magnify the name of God by showing us what God is like. And that is so important, that we should be people who see Jesus as God. All right? Now, one final thing that I want to say and leave with you, and this is very, very important. If I stand behind here now, okay, and I say to you, how do you see God? Is he a very strong image? Is he a very big image? Is he a very faint image? Is he someone who really seems to be so far away from you that you can't actually relate to him at all? How do you relate to God? Do you know God so well in your own personal experience that you can say, I know God. I have got that experience. I know him. And I know what he's like. I know what he's done for me. I know because I have met him. Now, I don't know what your experience of God is like as an individual. I don't know whether you see God guiding you, leading you. I don't know whether you see God talking to you or whether he's just at so much of a distance that you can't even relate to him. He's just the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. But he's not really my God. He seems to be so distant from me, I can't relate to him at all. Well, you need to have that relationship with God where you're able to say, I know him. I know him. You know, there's a story that I was reminded of just a couple of weeks ago of a blind man who was healed by Jesus. Jesus bent down and picked up some dust off the earth, and spat into it, made a little bit of mud, and put it on the man's eyes. And the man was still blind. At that point, he's got the mud on his eyes. He doesn't know how foolish he looks because he hasn't got a mirror. If he had a mirror, he wouldn't know because he was blind. And Jesus simply said, go. Do you know where Jesus sent him? To the pool of Siloam. And when the man got there, Jesus had said, and when you get there to the pool of Siloam, I want you to wash. Wash all that mud away. And as he washed all that mud away, his eyes were open. And he could see. For the first time in his life, he could see. He'd been born blind. He didn't know what a tree looked like. He didn't know what his mum and dad looked like. But now, he could see. Things were different. But he still didn't know Jesus. It was later on that Jesus encountered him again. And it said, I'm the guy that did this for you. And the blind man said this in John chapter 9, verse 38. I believe. Because this man's life had been changed completely. And that's the impact that Jesus can have on your life, each of your lives. He is able to say, I can change you from the inside out. That's a wonderful thing, you know. That each one of us, we've got to look at this now and we've got to say, now has Jesus done that for me? Have I allowed him to step into my life, change me from inside out, so that now I'm able to see that I need him and see that he is doing great things in my life? Now I can say that. I can say that, yes, God has done great things in my life. He has spoken to me. I have seen him move in my life. He is someone who has led me in difficult decisions that I have had to make because he loves me. And I ask you now, before you leave this place this morning, I ask that if you do not know God through Jesus intimately, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior because he died for you, then I ask that you speak either to me or to one of the leaders here. And you don't leave this place until you know in your heart that the matter has been settled. You are changed. And you now have eternal life. Jesus, in John chapter 17, gives us a definition of eternal life. And this is eternal life. That they should know you, God, as the Father. And Jesus Christ as your son. If you don't know that, you do not have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. And I plead with you to actually recognize that need today. And don't leave it any longer. Don't leave it until you're grown up. Okay, when I became a Christian on the 24th of September 1961 at 26 in the evening, I was 13. Okay? Even that was too late. I really needed to be much younger. My brother was much younger. He was someone, oh no, he wasn't. No, he was a bit older than that, to be fair. But the point is, we just need, as early as possible, to recognize Jesus as Savior. Okay? Now, thank you so much for listening. I know that was a lot of words, wasn't it? But fair dues to you all. You all did very well behind that sheet. Thank you so much. That's it.